Brothers and sisters, although I gave away the original exhortation, fortunately I've been able to recapture most of it. But before, I'm going to speak about the reading from the New Testament, perhaps with a few bits that I have to put in that were not in what I've recovered. But I wanted to start, because you know how much I like giving you some of the alternatives from the New Living Translation, and reading that wonderful chapter from Jeremiah 31 about the return of the Jews to the land. You've got that that ninth verse, "They shall come with weeping." And here, I like this New Living Bible again. It says, "With tears of joy will stream down their faces, and I will lead them home with great care. They shall walk beside quiet waters, not stumble, for I am a father unto Israel." And that hasn't changed. It won't change. They may be brought through the purging of Zechariah, but in the end, there'll be a remnant there that will be able to glorify his name. I couldn't let that go past. That's me, I'm afraid. But turn to the reading from Mark. We're on Mark 5, which is an absolutely wonderful chapter. But I'm going to start because I want to read the previous closing of Mark 4. And there's a very good reason for this, because everything Jesus did, he pre-planned. Nothing was accidental. Nothing was due to the circumstances. He made sure the circumstances was what he wanted, in order to show the lessons that he wanted to give. And we'll just read together those last verses from Mark 4. Verse 35. "The same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they'd sent out the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship." There was also with him other little ships. "And there arose a great storm of wind." Well, we know what a storm of wind is like when it arises. And on the shore there, in a little fishing boat, it was pretty awful. "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon that ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep." That's important to us. Jesus was asleep. He wasn't with them consciously. "And they wake him up and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind, said, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. He said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" What was all this about? Jesus went to the other side. He's at the other side. And he's coming across the seas to meet up with us. When he does so, the wind and the storms and the anger amongst the nations will suddenly be, well, Jesus' power will stop it all. Peace will be brought back into the world. And honor to the name of God. That's what he's showing us there. And then he goes on, as I prepared previously on Mark 5, and I've been able to find most of it again. But there's so much for us in Mark 5 when we look into it and realize that everything Jesus did was a purpose, was pre-planned in order to show a lesson to us. If we look for it, we shall find it. So let's deal with this. As I said, he came from across the sea back to find somebody. Now, Jesus knew what was going to happen. He saw one person, and then they sent him away. He healed a man whose name was Legion, who was suffering with a severe sickness. His name was Legion because he represented so many people. So Jesus, I'm away from my notes again, but don't worry. Jesus sailed to visit the Gadarenes. You know what the word Gadarenes means? It means reward at the end. reward at the end. So this visit was to show what was to happen at the end. And he was going to cure the terrible sickness of a man, showing what sin does. And he was going to rid that sinful influence from him. You see, it fits in, doesn't it? He'd come through the storm, he calmed the storm, and he was healing a man whose name was Legion, who was made to see the faith, because the authorized version has got a little bit back to front. Jesus had already spoken to him. In verse 8 he said, "For he said unto the man, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." But in fact that was before. It says, "And he said unto him," the New Living Translation, "for Jesus had already said to the man," and then the man responded, "What have I to do with thee? What am I going to do?" And it makes all the difference when we know what this really means, doesn't it? What was Jesus going to do? He was going to cure him. And he cured him. He cured him so much, and I'm going to come back to that as well in time. I don't know where I am in this, but it doesn't matter much. We'll get there. What happened to the rest that were there and witnessed this wonderful thing that happened? This man that they had known for so long, showing forth the effect of sin, who couldn't be bound in chains, nor can sin, can it? Nothing would stop it. Nothing could hold it back. And so Jesus was able to cure sin. And that's what we want him to do for us, isn't it? When he returns. Reward at the end. But their reaction, they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. You know, have you tried to talk to people this day about the Bible? Don't they react the same way? I had some JWs on my doorstep yesterday. It always livens me up a bit when I could talk with them. And we had about a half an hour talk, and I invited them to come back at a more convenient time. Whether they will or not, I don't know. They usually won't come back once they've heard me. But it does lift you up when you can talk about the Bible. Anyhow, there we are. So these people depart from me. They didn't want him there. So sadly, in those days when Jesus returns, they will be made to depart. Because the world will be rid of the people that will not honour the name of God. It is a lesson for us also, isn't it? That we must follow the man who was cured in response, faithful response to Jesus. What do you want me to do? And that's what Jesus said to, what do we want us to do? We know what he wants us to do. And that man went and did it. I shall come back to that a little later. So we continue now with this chapter. Because what it goes on, and none of these things were by accident, I've already said that. We have the healing of the woman with a continuing issue of blood for 12 years. And also then the raising from the dead of the daughter of one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus. There cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, we read, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. He had faith. He was a ruler of the synagogue who believed Jesus had the power. He really believed he was the Messiah. Luke, in his gospel record, adds a little bit to this record. He said he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. You see, there's a common factor involved. I've told you before, never ignore a number. The woman with the issue of blood had it for 12 years. This young girl was 12 years old. The word 12 occurs 165 times in the scripture, and the word 12 20 times. So what is the significance of that number? That the inspired record should bring it out there for us to have a good look at it and see what the meaning is. Jesus, at the age of 12, was taken up, as was the practice at that age, to the temple. You remember it. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And he was this time taken with them, and we know what happened. He spoke for three long days with all the authorities that were there. And but the point is that a Jewish boy at the age of 12 became a son of the law. And he then became a responsible person, responsible for all his action, and to undergo a course of instruction and be trained in fasting and attending public worship and so on. Can we note that this was also the time of the Passover that he'd gone up? And as we read in Deuteronomy, at the place where the Lord God shall choose to place his name in, there shall thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even at the sowing down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. Came forth out of sin. Egypt was synonymous with sin. So we see how these ends are all tying up with one another. The power of Egypt, I say, synonymous, the power of sin. The Passover ceremony was to bring to mind the responsibility to get ourselves free of sin. You remember how it's recorded in Hebrews that by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. All those who seek to serve the Lord must forsake the pleasures of sin to attain unto the reward at the end, the Gadarene reward that Jesus showed to be released from the power of sin. So we have the point at which the number 12 occurs, but I'm going to one or two more just to reinforce what I'm trying to show you. In the second book of Chronicles, there's no need to, I'll read it out. Second book of Chronicles, chapter 34, verse 3, concerning the good King Josiah, he said, in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. You can see where I'm going, aren't you? It's all adding to a picture, which is important for us to try and understand when we're reading the Bible, to understand what it's all about, to put it all together. It was in the 12th year of his reign. He was only a young man. He was 18, I think, at the time. But he went and did a wonderful work. Then concerning the articles in Solomon's temple, he had the same thing, of course, that we find the number 12 occurring. In the book of Esther, we read how the Jews were saved by the faithful intervention of Esther. In the chapter 9, it said, now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and decree drew near, you know they were going to have to kill, they were going to be able to kill all the Jews. In that day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over those that hate. The 12th month of the year. It goes on, doesn't it? Look, we then read at chapter 2. Now, when every maid's turn it was to come in to Ahasuerus, this is from Esther, you remember the circumstances, when she was to come in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of women, for so were the days of purification accomplished. To wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, 6 months with twefo. We could dwell on that a bit more, but we must hasten on. But you've got the point. 12, 12, 12, purging away of sinful flesh. And then, if we turn to the future, to Ezekiel, you remember the temple of Ezekiel. There we find the laver with which the priests would wash themselves before they came to serve. It was 12 cubits long and 12 cubits broad. They were washing away their sinfulness so that they could appropriately approach and carry out the service before the Lord God Almighty. I'm going to try and pass on because otherwise I'm going to go on for too long. I want to go now to consider the other two miracles that are here then. So, the young daughter of Jairus had reached the age of responsibility, remember? And Jesus was now being asked to cure her. but she couldn't show faith. She was dead. So beforehand, we have another miracle where the woman was showing her faith as the basis. And you remember it? Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? She was asking to be cured of this 12 years she'd had with a flux of blood. To another he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible that believeth. Anyhow, there we are. So, she was cured. She showed the faith. She acknowledged the faith. She was cured. She only wanted to touch his garments, and she felt confident that her sin that was causing the trouble would be relieving the trouble. And it was done. And the lesson for us today from our reading is Mark is a singular one. We read in Hebrews, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. Faith is the foundation upon which we all look, and we don't react like those of Gadara and they have prayed him to depart out of their place. No. We pray that we might be with him, just as that legion did. We need the faith of the woman who knew that if she could touch the Lord, she would be cured. And we look for the day when the Lord will be able to put his hands on us and cure us of all that that lives within us and we find difficult to control. That contact is what we need. But in the meantime, of course, we have contact with him through this word. If we look at it diligently, then it'll have a remarkable effect upon us. We need to have a cure. The ultimate claw will come to the extent to which we have fought it in our days of weakness. Just as the apostle said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Now, there's one further point I want to go on to, if you'll bear with me. The man was cured of this madness. And he wanted to go with Jesus, didn't he? He wanted to get in the boat and be with Jesus. Jesus said, suffered him not, but said to him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on him. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis. I want you to note that, how great things Jesus had done for him. He didn't just go home. He toured the whole area of Decapolis. Now, the north part of Decapolis has a very well-known city called Damascus. And the south, another one that you find in the book of Revelation, a faithful ecclesia, Philadelphia. And he toured round, telling them how Jesus had healed him of this terrible problem. You know what happened when that Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus? With authority from the priest to gather together all the Christians that were there, and to afflict them and to put them into prison and to do all the things that they did to Christians in those days, which sadly is being done to Christians now in Iran. It's awful. If they don't get out of their houses, they're shot dead. They've got to leave everything behind and get out. And the main town of Mosul is rid of all the Christians. They've all been forced out. Many of them up into the mountains without food or anything. It's terrible. Well, anyhow, I've gone aside. But the important thing was, when Paul got there, we know what happened. Everything had changed. There had been appearance to him brighter than the sun midday, which changed his heart. Told him to go into Damascus. He went blinded by that light. Then Ananias was told to go and to find this man in the street called Straight and heal him, give him back his sight. Lord, said Ananias, I've heard many of this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on the name. Where they called, where they understood this from? Now we don't know. But I love to think that that man, in all his eagerness, sowed the seeds of Jesus' message in Damascus. And they were there. And as we know, the result. So he went, as Jesus had said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. The Lord has done great things for us, hasn't he? As we look over at the sea toward Gadara, the reward in the end. But may we in that day have carried out that same message. Go home to your friends. Tell them what wonderful things the Lord has done for thee. And in that day, when our Lord comes to still the storm on the sea of the nations, may he say to us, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.